Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, welcome to another episode of the We Are Women podcast. My name is Janine Vosper, your host, and with me today I have Patricia Laverty. Now, Patricia is a businesswoman and has owned and operated small business and multi-million dollar companies for the last 20 years. In her education and qualifications are in coaching and mentoring arena, and Patricia specializes in computer technology and business. And we're going to cover a little bit of that computer technology stuff because I know that's not the forte of a lot of people, Patricia. So it's going to be certainly of interest to the listeners because it's something that sometimes scares people off. So, okay. Now, Patricia's been turning business into successful entities and was very excited when she found they found they're hard to leverage and expensive to run. You get excited about that.
Well, I don't know why I wrote excited there. I'm just reading my own text. I was thinking about how exciting it was to discover what you could do with it when you realized you'd made a mistake, but you just cannot leverage a bricks and mortar business, and they are very expensive to run.
They certainly are, because that's part of my background as well, and the costs and overheads of running a, as you said, a bricks and mortar business is quite extensive, and especially when you've got quite a few employees. So I know that you turned into what you love the most, which is coaching and mentoring and helping people move forward with their own businesses and their lives, and using computer technology to help them achieve their own wealth and freedom through their own businesses. Yeah. Now, because for the listeners, I've been working with Patricia on and off for about the last year trying to get head around different components of technology and blogging and a whole lot of other aspects. And that where does that background come from you?
In the technology side of things?
Yeah, in the technology side.
Yeah, well, in my previous life, if you'd like to call it that, before I actually got into business, I went through the levels through the education system and was both a coach, mentor, and into management around the TAFE sector and the universities. So I sort of went through and got all my qualifications, you know, the right way by slogging the books and working with all the techies and learning all about computers and running one of the departments for TAFE for some years. And that's where the technology came from, because, you know, I learned, you know, through doing degrees and diplomas, and I also learned by ground level, teaching people from I don't know what a computer is to let's wire up this whole company and see if it works. So that's where I learned it.
And that's something would have just changed so much over the years as well. You know, so you're obviously continuing to learn.
It is an every day ongoing learning, yes. And people, you know, some people have asked me for my resume and they go, oh, my God, you can do this and you can do that. And I went, yeah, I used to be able to do that and I used to do it extremely well, but I'm out of that arena. You know, like I used to be able to cable up computers and get them all working and, you know, have departments talking to departments. But because I haven't done that for you know, the last couple of years, the whole technology's changed. So they'd probably laugh at me and go, we don't do it that way anymore. We do it wirelessly, you know. But you understand the concept of it. If you know how to do accounting, you'll always know how to do accounting no matter what type of technology you're using. If you've got a computer brain like mine, I can plug into that and I learn it fairly quickly.
There. Now that, and that makes a lot of sense doing that. But I know that the coaching is your passion now.
It is.
So what's your beliefs and with that around business and coaching and working with business owners?
Sure. And that was one of the reasons that I got into it, is because when I was first in working in business and I wasn't, you know, like I was I had learned a little bit about computers, and this is way back, and I started working at a particular job, and they said, look, you come over and work with us and we think you're wonderful and we're going to teach you this, and we've got a computer and we've got this and we've got that. And I was so excited because I was moving into the modern age, and all this fantastic stuff was going to happen. And what happened to me was I got introduced to everybody, then said, here's your office. It had nothing in it but a desk, a computer, big cumbersome computer, and a filing cabinet and a phone. Mm. And they said, and here's the manual. And there was two giant, ring binder manuals. And they said, sit down. We're not going to talk to you for a week. You just learn how to use that computer. I went,
How long ago was that?
Oh, it was years ago. It was years ago before I actually got into doing the training for it, because it really threw me out the back door. And I've never forgotten it. And I always remember they said, and here's the number for the lady in Sydney. If you need help, ring her. Wow. And when I rang her, she was so horrible to me, and she treated me like I was awful, and I was so embarrassed. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, it's either me or it. I'm either going to lose my job here or I have to learn how to do this. And I literally got the manual out and I started at page one, finger on the page, and went, plug into wall, you know, and started there. And I thought, it's either you or me, baby, and I don't want to lose my job. And I cried every night when I went home because I was so lost. And I just decided, as the years went on and I got better and better and better at it, I've always wanted to ring that lady and go, hey, you know, you want some lessons, you know? But I never, ever, ever want – I'm a compassionate person and I don't like to see people in pain. And I thought, I never, ever want to see someone go through the horror story that I went through trying to get ahead when there was no help around. And I do love helping people, and I do believe I'm good at coaching, and I do believe I know how to tap into people's learning styles because everybody's different.
Yeah, that's an important factor.
Yeah. And it's tough for them because they tell me they're stupid. I'm stupid because I have to repeat myself. And I went, no, you're not stupid because you have to repeat yourself. That's your learning style. Some people hear it, they get it. Some people have to do it 27 times and they get it. Some people do it 3 times and they get it. It's yes. Everybody's different. So, yeah.
And from as someone coming from your space, you know, having gone through that experience and now being able to help others, that must be just incredibly rewarding for you as well, you know, so that you're getting that out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I love it when my students come back to me, and I've had a few lately, especially one particular lady, and she was about 12 months ago, just over 12 months ago, and she was crying on the phone, and she said, nobody will work with me. She said, everybody leaves me. And I just broke into tears because I thought, I know how that feels, because that was me. Nobody will help me, and I don't know what to do, and they only go so far with me, and then I exasperate them and they leave. And I just said to her, I said, I'm literally holding your hand across, you know, we're talking on Skype, and I said, I'm literally holding your hand here and I'm not going to let you go. I will not turn you loose and I won't leave you. And she would be crying on the calls, and I'd go, click the mouse. And she'd go, I can't, I'm terrified. Now, 12 yeah. months down the track, she sends me information, calls me, Skypes me and says, I've just done this and that, and I check it out. What do you think? And I'm so proud of her. I'm just so proud of her. You know, she's taken the training on, and she's been able to battle through that fear.
Yeah, and that sort of – that explains what you do, why you do what you do.
Mm, definitely. No, I love to see people achieve. I love to see that the best payment for me is someone ringing me or showing me and go, I got it. I've turned it. I can do it now. I'm not frightened anymore, and I just think that's worth gold.
And because, you know, that's the thing, is people have a lot of amazing talents in their own businesses, but stepping out, as you know, when they've been working in a job, but stepping out can be quite frightening. And we have to be connected on the web electronically. That's a given now, and that can be fearful for people.
Definitely. Especially when it's changing. I mean, you know, I even go in and I go, oh, we're going to do a lesson on such and such. Someone's come on for a Skype call, And overnight, whatever program we're working on, they've changed it. And I'm looking at it going, well, I'm going to look silly because this has happened in the night and the buttons are in a different place and I've got to teach this person. So we have a bit of a jugger. Hello, they've done it to me again. So we usually turn it into a bit of a game and, you know, if it all goes to porridge, I just regroup and go back the next day with the information and we have a bit of fun with it.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing. You can only do that, don't you? So the people that you work with, what are they different industries, different yep. groups?
Yeah, so I work with people at many levels. So I work with people, you know, like I said, the lady who was very, very nervous and trying to create an online business for herself because she, you know, she had been made redundant and, you know, she her carpet had been pulled out from underneath her feet and she was trying to make, you know, a living online and survive. Frightened and paralyzed with fear of moving forward. So, you know, I've worked with people at that level and then you've worked with people who are already a little bit geeky or a little bit, you know, computer savvy and they're quite challenging because they tend to sort of bulldoze a little bit and they need to, you know, learn it's not like that anymore. It's changed and we have to have a look at it a different way. And then you've got your high-level business people who are already in business who are needing some, you know, authority, you know, like that's where the blogging comes into. So they come to me for to help their profile, to help them move forward and to maybe have a look at their websites, have a look at the content, you know, see what they're doing out there and how they can be doing things better. So it's at all levels that people need help.
Okay. And I know you said part of your why you do it was because you found yourself in that situation, but there's part of it within your own story too of moving into business for yourself, isn't there?
Mm, definitely. Yeah. So do you want me to talk a little bit about what took me into business?
Right.
Well, I made the fatal error, which we all do, but I didn't know at the time that I did it. And that is I was working through the TAFE sector and, you know, had gone as high as I possibly could in there. And, you know, I'm not a climber. I don't have to be the top of the tree or anything like that. I just want to be in the place where I feel of best service and where I, you know, want to, where it works for all of us. But I kept on saying for years, I really want to go into my own business, but I'm too scared. I really want to go into my business, but how would I do that? I don't feel clever enough. So I went through the same trauma as most people do wanting to go into business. And along came a family member who said, you know, I'm starting to open up this business and why don't you come in with me? Because I had the geek brain and he had the business brain. So I thought, between the two of us, plus there was trust there, I thought, that's where I made the fatal error. And I didn't know about not working with friends and family. And my nature is if things aren't going well, I work harder. What else can I do? What more can I do? How much more can I put in? And I tend to go that way rather than back off and go, I'm scared and I'll run away. I want to do more. So for 9 years, I just kept going harder and better and trying to prove that I was doing the right thing. Meanwhile, there was leakage on the other side. And we although we did extremely well in the business, a lot of decisions were made, even though I was a partner in the business, behind closed doors. And long story short, we almost lost the business completely, and we've definitely lost the family. There's definitely the family is defunct now, and that was
that's such a shame.
Horrible,
isn't it,
when that horrible happens. It was one of the worst times of my entire life.
I actually heard a story this week at a breakfast meeting. Somebody explained their story. They had about three times that happened with different partners, and it wasn't family and friends, but there just wasn't the contracts written.
No,
that was what was missing, was that there's a formula, making a very formal agreement, no matter who you're working with, is probably the good lesson, isn't it?
Definitely. Yes, yes. Yeah. And if you do go in with family or friends or anything like that, I kept on getting told there are no friends in business, which unfortunately is true. And I I found that hard to believe. And I thought, yeah, but your family won't throw you under the bus. Well, they will. Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, I hate even those words coming out of my mouth, but they will.
That's really unfortunate that because I totally disagree with that statement, because for the last 20 years I've been working for a company, and because of the owner's loyalty and support of his staff, I have seen him do incredible things, and financially and emotionally, you know, one staff was going through depression, so he paid for all of their help and their treatment, and then once she got better, she actually is a young woman, and she moved into a different role because she felt a bit uncomfortable being there, knowing that. But he's fine with it. He helped somebody that wanted to go back to New Zealand and not work for us anymore, financially supported her to be able to do that.
He should be blessed. What a lovely person.
He totally is. Everyone works their butts off, but the loyalty and support is there, and it's just fantastic. Quite amazing. So there are companies out there, but it's one of the reasons that I haven't I still work 5 days a fortnight because of who I work for. It's that loyalty back there as well.
That's
amazing.
Such a great story. That's given me renewed faith. It really has. Fantastic.
Yeah, they're around, and that's part of that. That your belief with a bricks and mortar business, because what sort of industry were you in?
We were in the manufacturing industry, and we had a full working plant, and I was doing I set up all the production, the sales, purchasing. We even purchased overseas, stuff that I'd never done in my life before, so I got a real huge education. It was quite an exciting time, but unfortunately an upsetting time. But things come in our paths to make us take a different path for a reason. So
But the learning was meant to be. Yeah, and that's part of, you know, my belief with things as well, is that that we are given opportunities and challenges. And we can choose to either learn from them or, you know, bury ourselves away from them, and just to be able to learn and experience and go, okay, so what was that I needed to learn from that? And those skills, I'm sure that you carry on now and you are able to share within your coaching.
I'm a lot smarter. I think I was, the things that I learned out of that business was to be a little bit smarter, not to be so naive, you know, because I was still naive about business. So, you know, I learned a lot about business and about manufacturing. I learned a lot about, you know, trading overseas. You know, I did learn a lot. I got a lot out of it as well. Definitely.
Yeah. And something that you said that I found interesting, and this is something that a lot of people do, when things are struggling, you work harder and do more.
Yes.
You gave the option of stepping back and running away, but there is another option, isn't there? There's stepping back and looking in.
Yes.
And
definitely
figuring out another way of doing it. But sometimes, and I know that we all get in this space, sometimes we get so much involved in a situation that isn't working that we're constantly trying to make it work.
Yes.
And in doing so, that there's a real sense of failure when we don't reach that end result that we've set ourselves up for, rather than stepping back. And sometimes you just have to say, you know what, this isn't working. I need to change what I'm doing, change my thinking, or move away from it.
Definitely. Yeah, no, I agree with all of that.
Now, that was a bricks and mortar business. Now, I know that you're quite keen on the point that you can't leverage that, but being online businesses, you can. Can you explain what you mean by that?
When I just a real, very quick end of the story, when I moved away from the business that I just told you about, I decided to move from Victoria up to Queensland because I wanted a sea change. I was burned out. And again, I made the next mistake, and that was, which was a good mistake, was I actually bought a motel. up in Queensland. And I just thought, yes, I've been wanting to do it for years and years and years and years. My friends had done it. And, again, it was fantastic. But it comes with its weight as well. So if you've got a certain amount of rooms in your motel, you can't put more people in the rooms. The only leverage that you can get from that is to put your prices up or on-sell things. And it's quite limited. And then you've got the restriction of other motels being around you. So you might not be able to put your prices up because it's a price-driven industry. So a person would rather go next door for $5 less than come to a much nicer establishment for the $5. It's really weird. It was quite a lesson to learn there too. So I just found that I wasn't going to get ahead unless the price really went up with the rooms, you know, or a few other things changed, and, you know, it just wasn't going to. Whereas with an online business, you know, so like the outlay to get into that kind of bricks and mortar business was like $375,000 for the lease. You didn't even own the building. That was just for the privilege of running that business. And then you had your ongoing costs. The rent was $10,000 a month, whether you had a good day or a bad day. And then because I was on the ocean side of the highway, everything was doubled. All my rates and everything were double. So it was a really expensive. Okay. So it means, oh, well, I had a bad month. Too bad. You still have to pay those outgoings. You still have to pay staff to clean your rooms, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. With an online business, I sat down and did some calculations, and you can literally get into business for under $200 in the year. You can set yourself up on a website. If you've got a passion, a talent, a skill, something that you love, you could turn that into an online business literally within 30 days. And you can buy yourself a website, you know, a domain name for like, let's say maximum $13 for the year, and then get some hosting. Yeah. It's roughly at the expensive rates about $170 for the year, roughly. So they're $200, you're online. You really don't have to go and buy all the fancy trimmings that go with that online business until you're ready and have the money behind you to start buying those. You can do things with free equipment on the internet. So you can actually get up and established fairly quickly and then get out there and peddling. And then once you start making some money on that, you can then decide if you want to buy that extra tool to go onto your website. And then you can leverage it. You can create another one and another one and another one.
Mm. And that just makes so much sense. And because of the other business I'm in, I know exactly what you're talking about, because you either increase your prices or you go get more customers. But with the motel, that you are limited with that you're constantly chasing something extra because your costs are going up all the time. Mm. So
Yes.
Yeah, that just certainly does make a lot of sense. So what are the major issues that you see when you come across when you're working with your clients?
With the clients that I have who are learning online?
Yeah, or just people when they're starting out in business to start with.
Sure. The two major things that pop up for me are fear is the number one. They go through exactly what we all went through, is I want to do it but I'm scared, or I want to do it and I don't know how. And the second one is, once we get them over that hurdle and go, okay, the rubber just hit the road, let's go, you need to commit like any other business, and you need to go, all right, I need to schedule my week on when I'm going to work on this business and what exactly I'm going to do. A lot of my clients go, life gets in the way. You know, I always laugh and go, the dog ate the homework. You know, it's like, we've got to go and do these things and get ready for next week. Oh, yeah, but I couldn't because it was my granddaughter's birthday, which is fair enough, or, you know, the dog ate the homework. So we basically say, if you keep letting the dog eat the homework or the goat eat the homework, you've thrown your money out the door, because it's not going to work for you. You have to commit to it and you have to schedule yourself. And that's the biggest, what's the word I can use for there? It's a barrier for people. Until they can click into that, then they're away.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And do you think that's part of that is fear? Because if they've constantly got an excuse as to why they're not succeeding because they just don't have the time to apply to the business, then they don't actually have to look deeper within themselves. To judge themselves on a different level, going, well, I really didn't have the time to put into it. It's not surprising. It's not succeeding the way I'd hoped it would be.
Correct. Yes. Yes, I totally agree with that.
I've never thought of it like that before until you phrased it up, and then it sort of went, that is a really good excuse for us to hold on to.
Yeah.
To go, okay, well, yeah, it didn't do real well because it didn't really have the time to put in.
Yeah. Because we're the ones standing there in our own shoes now responsible for whether the business goes forward or not. And that's daunting for some people.
Yeah. I ran a workshop on Wednesday night about authentic selling thing. I had about 20 people in the room, and the upsell is into the two-day course, which it's personalized, works on people's own individual businesses. And that was the part of the thing that had a good response, but the part of the thing that stopped people was that, okay, one is people see money as a cost rather than an investment, but it's that, because I talked about taking action, not just about booking into the course, but to take action with the things that they'd learnt on that night, just go do something. But most people don't. They walk out of those courses and they don't apply.
Correct. And that's on a large scale, unfortunately. It's more the majority.
Yeah, and I think that whole thing comes down to what you said is commitment to your business, isn't it? Yeah.
One of the, if you don't mind me saying, and it's going to sound really weird, but I always remember this thing from way back from my nephew, who's very upgrown now. He's in his, his 40s, but I always remember if you had a child, it might not be your child, it might be someone else's child, or it might be yours, or it might be your grandchild, and that child was on the floor and crawled across and tried to put their finger in the socket of the electricity socket, would you stop them? And people go, of course you would. Okay. And if you stopped them and the child kept going, went back again to put their finger in the socket, would you stop them a second time?
Naturally, you would do that.
And would you do it a third time? And for how many times would you do it?
Okay. So the point is, just continually doing the same thing that the
well the point the, is you're not going to let that child get electrocuted, are you?
No.
So there's a firm commitment in your mind. There is no way I'll do whatever it is that I have to stop that child from electrocuting themselves.
Yeah.
So you'll find the way, won't you?
Oh, absolutely. You find the time, and that's exactly right, when you've got that commitment to something.
So therefore then I say to them, so why won't you apply that same methodology to your business? It's interesting,
it all comes back to how committed are you to make this a success? And then, well, if you're very committed, then go learn the skills that you don't have yourself. So whether it's tech skills or the feeling comfortable about selling, whatever we're doing, it's go learn those skills. Otherwise it means that you're really not committed to your business. I'm going to use that word in part of my pitching now when I go to the networking. It's really cool. That's certainly a powerful, it's going to throw it up in people's faces.
It does
and challenge people. Absolutely. I'm doing a presentation in a few weeks just on bucket lists and things, and I thought what I would do is count my time for a 2-week period and just find out, where I'm spending my time. That's a really interesting exercise to do that. I've done it for 4 days, and so far I've had 3 11-hour working days and 1 9-hour working day. Because I'm in two businesses, obviously, but that's my commitment. It's not a problem. It's not work. It's what I need to be doing to get where I got and to get where I want to be in the future as well. And I challenge, and that's what I do with my clients, is I give them that challenge for a couple of weeks to apply that. So when we're looking at the goal setting and building an action plan, they know where they're spending their time. And it's okay if you say that's a priority. But then again, as you've just said, that's not a commitment then to grow the business.
Yeah.
Cool. And yeah, what's another block as well that you see with people in their own business?
I think that's the major one that I see is it's about what I call rubber hitting the road and going, well, you, this is it, let's go. You've got me holding your hand now, let's go forward. And they love that bit, but I think there's a lot of fear still around, a fear of either failing or achieving. Some people are frightened of achieving. And the biggest one is I get, and because I've done a lot of NLP, I'm very, protective when people say bad things about themselves, because it's proven that we listen more to what we say about ourselves than what other people say about us. So if we say negative thoughts about ourselves, it's 10 times more powerful than if somebody else said them to us. And the self-talk about, I can't do this, I'm too stupid, I've never done this before, I can't use computers, I'm too scared to click the mouse, I'm an idiot, all of that sort of stuff is just debilitating. Absolutely debilitating. And I try and help them move the sentences around. And you know how you set goals by the such and such date on the such and such time of the such and such year. Well, there's another way of doing that as well. And I use the phrase to them, how about changing the phrase to, how would it be for me if I was able to write a blog in a day? How would it be for me if I was able to use word processing to create one letter in a week?
Yeah.
So it opens your brain up to go, how would it be for me, or how would it feel when I achieve this? And I really pull people up, because even people will come to my house, they all laugh, and I say, you're not allowed to say anything negative about yourself in here. If you do, I ask them to rephrase it to the positive.
I'm on people's case all the time. Yeah. I'm sort of don't pull any punches with that because, except interestingly, they're women in business and women that I coach or women I work with, and I don't do it with sisters and daughter-in-laws and things like that because that's not my role in that position. Mm-hmm. But it drives me crazy.
It hurts.
Because and I see these people with so much potential and they're just focused on what they're focused on the red lights and not all the green lights they get when they're driving. Yeah. You know, they just see all of the issues and problems in life. And switching that thinking around is to be able to do that. It changes just your whole enjoyment of every experience, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And putting triggers in, like when you feel yourself, because we all go there, all of us, we all go, oh, I'm having a bad day. And that bad day can turn into a bad week if you're not careful. So if you have your triggers and you go, oops, I realize that I'm not getting out of bed in the morning and going for a bike ride or a walk or whatever. I'm backing off here. And then 4 hours later, you go, I really wish I'd gone for that walk or that ride. Putting a trigger in place, knowing that at 6 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning, whatever time you're going to wake up, you know that's going to happen. What's going to get you out of that? Is it music? Is it listening to somebody's motivational CDs? What is it? Is it getting out of bed, making yourself a cup of tea and not getting back into bed, instead heading for the shower? What's the trigger? What's the thing that you can put in when that trigger happens that will snap you out of that way of thinking faster than 4 or 5 hours down the track when you've lost that opportunity?
Yeah, that's really smart to have something like that. Routine works like that as well, doesn't it? You know, that you just go, oh, I know, it's 5:45 and my PT's arriving on a Wednesday morning. Mm. Okay, I just know that the alarm goes off at 5:15 and it's just what happens. And sometimes you just like, I don't want to be doing this, but it's the routine. Every Wednesday she turns up, you know. It's,
and it's habits. It's a habit, daily habits that create your success, and your success is created on a daily basis. It's not so achievers don't go, there's the end result down there and that's, and I'm not making it and it's not coming and it's too far away. They realize that it is a daily journey, and you, that journey may not be reached. The end of the journey may not come for some time. It may never come. You just, you're getting the end of the journey could even extend out, but your daily habit is actually creating your success and your achievement as you go through each day, and it builds on that.
Yeah, exactly right. It's those just the little steps. You know, they talk about eating 500 less calories a day or kilojoules a day, and just do that for 4 weeks, and, you know, all of a sudden you've lost a few kilos in weight.
Yeah,
it's just that. Every day you just, you do specifically do that.
Yeah.
And it does create. Yeah, absolutely. Interesting. Very much on the same page there. Patricia. I know. And it's given me part of a bit of an idea for that presentation, was that with the daily habits and having a trigger.
Mm.
For me, it's routine. I just, for me now, this morning before we had the interview, I've gone through, I've got a hard copy diary on my desk, I've got my phone diary, and I've got a wall calendar, which keeps family informed about, you know, what's going on. So I went through the diary with the things that I know are all happening for September. It'll, things will be added, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've put in there on my phone one and on my written one is my exercise programs for each of those days.
Mm-hmm.
So I've put in whether it's a yoga class or it's a walk or what it is. And I do that just a week ahead, mm-hmm. so I don't get too carried away.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in there. Okay, well... It's down for a walk, you know, that this afternoon there's an, and I look at the gym schedule and there's a yoga class at 5:30. So that's what's in my program now, is yoga at 5:30 this afternoon.
Fantastic.
It's programmed, and that's just having that, but the routine is putting it in the diary.
Yes.
And you've got to commit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So points, one of the other things I know, and you've touched on it a bit, you're saying a common blocker is that people think it's assumed you need a lot of money, but you don't.
No.
It's just very easy to get started.
And,
and again, it's just taking that action on that. I know you've got some other takeaway points, which we'll go into in a second, but quickly, is there a couple of things with, say, a website?
Mm-hmm.
Something that everyone when people start looking at what they should design, what they should know. Is it a couple of things that you say you have to do? This is very important.
Well, obviously, and I can't speak 100% of people want to do this, but, you know, a high percentage of people are trying to make a living online. They're trying to earn money online. And they, it's like, let's say you decide you're really interested in shoes, your passion is shoes. Well, you're not a shoe manufacturer. So where, or an importer, where are you going to get your shoes from if you want to sell shoes online or promote shoes online? So to be able to monetize your site, so monetizing your website is really important, especially if you're wanting to get some money into the bank, and you do that through other people who have that product or service that they will give you a commission to promote or sell, and they're called affiliates. So if you don't already have your own product or service to sell, like you do and I do, you know, I have my programs to sell and my seminars and everything. But I also use affiliates for things that I don't have at my fingertips. So people can join affiliate programs for free very quickly, and they can put links onto their website that look really lovely. They can put an image on, or they can put it in text, however they wish. It's all free. Mm-hmm. And any sales that come through from that link, the person will get a commission into their bank account. And it's a good way to get started. I'd say that's got to be looked at pretty quickly if people are wanting to make money online and don't have a product or service yet.
That's a great tip. And it does make a lot of sense, especially if you want to be selling a tangible product, to be able to do that and not have to worry about that the actual having the product yourself. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Now, takeaway points for, you know, within the coaching and particularly what you do.
Mm. So the takeaway points that we talked about were, you know, that women can feel that they have no time to start a business. They also feel alone, insecure, and incapable of creating their own business. Now, please don't take me those words of mine as putting people down. I'm not. I feel it myself. I still feel it now. You know, I mean, it's not something that goes away in a hurry. But with the people that I've worked with, both men and women, you can become strong with some guidance and some help. You need help to get started. Me being very geeky, when I first started building websites, I looked at it and I went, what? And I thought, okay, just get a little bit of push, a little bit of a help, a little bit of a push, and away you go. And some of us just need a little bit of a holding hand and a bit of guidance and knowing there's someone there that we can call on when we need them. Because if you're working at home and you're by yourself, it can become a little bit lonely and it can become a little bit staid and you can get into the wrong routine. So you need to have people that you can call on like a mentor, and it will make you, it'll put you in the right direction. It'll keep you connected to the outside world as well. And there's nothing better than to model yourself on someone who's already been successful.
It makes a lot of sense. The amount of time, you know, I know I've wasted over the years trying to figure how something works, whereas now I just get somebody to do it for me.
Yes. It's just, that's the ultimate. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is, or I do what we've said, is you get some mentoring and you get a step-by-step education, so you're not wasting time, because time's money in your business.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's a given. Anyone that doesn't, whatever, every year I say, what do I need to learn this year? And then I go and look for coaches to train me in that particular thing.
Fabulous.
If people aren't doing that in their business, they are crazy, because you will just be at the same level at the start of the year, at the end of the year, as you are the start of the year, because you haven't got guidance from, as you said, someone who's done it before and knows what they're doing and can save you a lot of time.
A lot of time, and a lot of money. A lot of money in the end of the day.
Yeah, because in business, time is money.
Yeah.
Because one of the things most people say in their business, they don't have enough time.
They don't.
So the second takeaway point?
Is that you talked about it before, that starting an online business is easy when you know how to, when you've got a little bit of guidance, you just need the desire. So everybody has got a passion, a love, something they're interested, something they're good at. Everyone's good at something. One thing that they're really good at, or more than one thing. And you no longer need to be a techie guru anymore online. There's so much help available, and the programs are getting, you know, a little bit easier to use once you get your brain going in that direction. You know, having your own business can either help you achieve a second income or, in fact, lead into replacing your current income. Which gives you freedom to work whenever you want. So I always encourage people, you know, put your time and energy into your own business to free yourself from your JOB, which is your just over broke business. If that's what's working for you, if it's fantastic, it may be a second income. But if you're finding it really difficult and you're in a job and you don't like it and you really want out, basically what you're doing is you're achieving somebody else's dream instead of your own. And it's not going to change. When you get down the end of the road and it's time to retire, when you look back, you're going to go, what did I do?
Yeah, totally agree. And that's, I love that statement, achieving somebody else's dream instead of your own. You know, and that's one of the reasons that I have my own coaching and speaking business, as well as working still a couple of days a week for this company, because I told you how much an amazing company they have.
Still there?
And being in a top management role there, I've bought a lot of business in, but it's not mine. It's working for their dream and not my own. So, you know, I'm happy to put in all of the hours because it's what I want.
Still
and
there?
That is something that drives me and I'm sure drives a lot of the people, women that are listening as well. Looks like Patricia has dropped off and we've just about finished the recording and the interview. That is such a shame. I'm going to try and pull her back on and we might be able to splice up this podcast. But in case we can't, I'm going to follow up with one of the other takeaway points that I know Patricia wanted to share. And that is, if you have a passion or a skill or something that you can turn into business, then just do it. Just start small and you can grow it as big as you like. But you need to get out there and you need to take action and you don't need to go it alone. So the most important thing is then to go and find mentors that can guide you and surround yourself with people who will encourage you and will believe in you and will share your passion and your dream. And you know what? Sometimes it isn't the people that are immediate in our lives. Sometimes it's not necessarily the family around us. And sometimes we can get discouraged because they don't see our dream and our passion. But get out there, go to events, go to marketing events, go to networking events, and really get out there and, you know, build that dream. And be with people who like-minded who are sharing your dream and can be the wind beneath your wings as well. I'm really sorry that we've lost Patricia, but I do want to let you know that if you found what Patricia said was really interesting, and I've worked with her on a whole lot of stuff, and her tech ability is just amazing. I love what she's able to share. You can link to www.patricialaverty, spelled laverty.com/webinar. And you can learn how to create your own online business.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.